the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 1115. Upheld by thy supporting hand, we pass, O Lord, from year to year, and still we meet at thy command to seek thy gracious presence here. 1115.
Read together from the Word of God from two portions of Scripture. First, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and the first 28 verses. John's Gospel, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is, who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. You now please turn to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, we commence to read at verse 29 and as far as verse 11 of chapter 21. Matthew 20, verse 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" They say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, Then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, "Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, he shall say, 'The Lord hath need of them,' and straightway he will send them." All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass." And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." Here then we leave the reading of God's word. May bless it to us and help us now to pray. Kind and ever merciful and gracious Lord God, 'tis indeed thy mercy and kindness and goodness that our lives are spared, and we see the light and dawn of another Sabbath day, and indeed the first Sabbath day of another year. So, Lord, we desire to come and humbly acknowledge all thy kindness and goodness to us, for the mercies and favours and blessings bestowed upon us through the year now past. Oh, thy mercies are great, they're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, our needs being so abundantly supplied, through the year past, through the years past. Lord, we have so much to be truly thankful for. All the goodness, our food and raiment, the roof over our heads, the beds that we lie on, the roof over our heads, many mercies then are ours through thy kindness and goodness to us. We desire then to humbly thank thee, our Lord, and it's not only the things of providence, there are those things of grace also. There has been, and there still is, blessed be thy name. There's the house of God. There's an open Bible. There's the Bible we can read in our own language. We ask thee to give and grant to us understanding of what we read. Lord, then we do thank thee. And as Paul says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift, the gift of the only begotten Son of God. Truly, there's never ever been a gift like it unto poor fallen mankind. There's been and is nothing to be compared with Christ. Oh, and how precious, dear Lord Jesus, thou art. And oh, we pray that thou make thyself more and more precious to our poor, never dying souls. I from all things parted I could be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. Oh, and perish the thought that it should be otherwise. We do seek then thy help. And Lord, as we're favoured and spared to the opening then of another year, we pray, dear Lord, that thou would mercifully come and bless us even here this day, here in thy house. Lord, we thank thee, Lord, that in the years and the year and the years past, Lord, there have been those times when we've heard that gospel trumpet blown, and oh, we ask that, Lord, it may begin today yet again to blow loudly and clearly, that poor sinners might hear the sound of the truth of the gospel of Christ. They may be brought to know and realise that there is salvation in Christ Jesus the Lord. Then, Lord, do pluck out that right hand out of thy bosom and work salvation in our midst, we beseech thee. Pray that thou would draw near. Lord, do draw near to us here this day. Oh, Lord, and do abundantly bless, we beg. We ask and pray that thou art be near and be round about us. Ah, Lord, that thou art mercifully grant thy gracious help. Lord, thou knowest, dear Lord, just how each one has come to chapel today. Ah, Lord, if any have come cast down, dear Lord, do lift them up. If any have come feeling afar off, Lord, do draw near. If any have come, Lord, with a little who can tell, may they hear thy voice, the voice of love and of mercy, that they may have some sweet hope that after all their name is found in some recorded place beneath the Saviour's blood. And oh, as those have come, perhaps, crying out with the publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. May they go down to their house justified. Ah, Lord, do graciously work. and pray, Lord, that thou remember then each and every case. Those that have come like the dear harlot Rahab, give me a true token. Oh, that one and another may have some token for good this day. Some token of thy loving kindness, thy goodness, thy mercy. Then, Lord, do come and open the windows of heaven here this day and pour out a blessing so that, Lord, sinners hear to the joy and the rejoice of their own heart and to the honour and glory and praise of thy great and holy name. And, Lord, and if it should be so, thy name shall be praised, but, Lord, if it should be so, oh, that the very stones will cry out against them if they hold their peace. Lord, do work. Oh, Lord, do come. Lord, may there be a realization and a sense, dear Lord, of that divine overshadowing, or a holy, sacred, solemn awe. Lord, we hope we've known it maybe but once in our life, but oh, that it may be so here today. Lord, then do graciously work, we beg. Ah, Lord, and that there may be something done then in thy great and holy name. We do pray thou help us to bow our head before thee in confession of our sin and guilt. Ah, the sins, Lord, of the past year. Lord, the sins of the past years. And Lord, and we're only day three of the new year. And oh, Lord, we need cleansing, we need washing from all our sin and guilt. Then take hold of us. Plunge us in that crimson ocean, thy atonement made for sin. Lord, may we come as even as bad and wretched sinners as we fail to be. Oh, but we come, dear Lord, pleading thine own blessed word, Lord Jesus, that thou would in no wise cast out. Then may we come, Lord, and may we prove thy divine faithfulness. We do pray that thou remember and bless, dear Lord, this cause of truth, and do bless them together, and do bind them together in love and unity in the bond of peace. And do make thy goodness pass before them. Oh, Lord, we do pray thou'll be very, very gracious. Lord, we pray for the older ones. Lord, do remember them and do bless them. Lord, and there's one, Lord, that is unable to get to chapel. Lord, but we pray for her. And we pray then that thou remember any others that may be unable today through sickness and affliction. And we pray that thou would abundantly bless. And Lord, we come down to the little ones. We do thank thee for the little ones. Lord, we thought just prior to the service, Lord, we heard the baby crying. And we thought of what one of thy servants of the past said. He thanked the Lord for the music of the babe. And that, Lord, if there's no music of the babes, eventually the doors of the chapel are closed. Then, Lord, may there ever be the music of the babes here in this house of God. There may be those that bring forth natural children, and may there be those that bring forth the spiritual children. Oh, the mothers and fathers in Israel that labour and travail to bring forth children to thine honour, glory and praise. There may be the Naomis that find Ruth comes with them. Lord, do be very near. Gracious Lord, then do bless this church and congregation. And pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt grant souls for hire and seals unto the ministry. That there is the younger children, Lord, also, that those, Lord, that go to school, we pray that thou remember them and help them, keep them and preserve them from the many evils and dangers. And not, Lord, just the dangers in the playground, the dangers in the classroom. Lord, do watch over them. Oh, that they may be given grace, Lord, to know and realise when truth and when error is set before them. And if they're not sure, help them to ask their parents, and help the parents to lovingly and faithfully explain. Lord, then do be near. We pray for the younger ones, Lord, that have left school, or maybe at further education. Lord, we pray thou go before them and undertake for them and be very near. Be round about them, Lord, and do make thy goodness pass before them, provide for them, oh, that they may have places of employment, and also that they may have and find, that, Lord, that thou wilt find for them suitable wives, suitable husbands. Lord, do go before them. Help them to commit these things into thy hand. And, Lord, and that thou wilt provide for them. Lord, and it comes to mind, dear Lord, of their two young friends, one from here and one from Staplehurst, who hope to be married in the coming days. We pray, dear Lord, that thou remember them, Lord, and go before them in life's pathway. And gracious Lord, be near to them. Lord, we lovingly commit them and others, Lord, today as they commence married life together, and perhaps have just commenced married life together. Lord, do go before them and help them. We do pray. Oh, Lord, we ask then that thou remember all. Lord, we love our children, we love our grandchildren. Oh, but to see that work of thy grace in their hearts. Lord, do graciously work. Ah, may none be left out when thou for them shalt call. Now hear prayer for us. We pray as a land and nation. We ask thee to govern those that govern us. Lord, do overturn the evil designs of wicked men, frustrate their intentions. And our Queen and the royal household, remember them. The heirs to the throne, Lord, we ask thee to work in their hearts, Lord, that they may truly be, as we read in thy word of those various kings, how they followed the Lord. Dear Lord, do appear for thine own great namesake. Lord, and we do just think of our fellow countrymen in the north of the country and in Scotland that have suffered in floods. Sanctify these things, not only to them, but to the people of the country. Oh, that it may be asked some solemn questions as to why these things come and these things happen. Lord, scientists explain it all. But Lord, they forget that there is a God in divine control. then, Lord, do help us to look to Thee. We pray for others in the world, their suffering, their need and poverty and famine and death and disease, and indeed some are persecuted. Remember them, and remember the persecutors also. Oh, Lord, do change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. Oh, we do pray, Thou remember us each. Lord, we know not what a day nor an hour may bring forth. We have need to pray. As the hymn writer says, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before Thy face. Thy Spirit must Thee work, performed is all of grace. Christ's obedience clothed and washed me in His blood, so shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. And then, Lord, we do pray Thou would then make us right and keep us right and fit and prepare us for heaven and for glory. We do pray Thou remember all that we commend to Thee. There are those, Lord, who have left and forsaken the house of God. Bring them back. Lord, set a hedge about them. Cause them to hear Thy voice. And dear Lord, do help us now. We need Thee, Lord. We need Thee, Lord Jesus. Then do come and do fulfill Thy gracious word and promise once more. Thou hast said, I will never leave Thee nor forsake Thee. Come, open one's mouth, touch my lips with that live coal from off that heavenly altar. As we plead, the dear woman who cried, Lord, help me. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 961. Be still, my heart, these anxious cares to thee are burdens, thorns, and snares. They cast dishonour on thy Lord and contradict his gracious word. 961.
Thank you.
in a dependence upon Thee, Lord, for all needed help. I ask Your very prayerful attention to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, and in the main, three words at the end of verse 10. But I'll read verses 10 and 11. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." Three words then are in Matthew 21, verse 10. Who is this? Here we have the dear Lord Jesus Christ entering into Jerusalem on the colt, the foal of an ass, as was prophesied in the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, that Christ would come riding upon the colt and the foal of an ass. But also, there's this thought has been much on my spirit. This was the last week of the dear Lord Jesus Christ here on earth before his crucifixion. What a momentous week that was. What a week of events. We've entered upon 2016 by the grace of God. But what momentous events may take place in your life and mine. Then we have to ask, are we ready? The Lord of life and glory, the dear Lord Jesus Christ, was crucified on Calvary's cross. He died. He died, yes, there with the ungodly, although he himself was holy. You and I will die, if not in 2016, at some other date. How will we die? Are we ready? Will this be the eventful year for you and I, when we exchange time for eternity? Ah, we do indeed need to pray in sincerity from our hearts, do we not, to be prepared for that tremendous day. No one's ever come and told us what it is like to die. No, but we know this, that we all shall die. Ah, You might say to me, this doesn't sound like a New Year's message. Well, it might not sound like it, but does it alter the fact? Have I yet said anything that is not true thus far this morning? No. Everything is true. Oh, and whilst the Lord then of life and glory, he, blessed be his name, he knew. He knew what lied before him. He knew that by the end of the week, he would have been crucified on Calvary's cross. You and I don't. We don't know what a day nor an hour what it will bring forth. Yes, I prayed it this morning, and we need to pray it, friends. We need to pray those words of the hymn writer, "Prepare me, gracious God," because we do need preparing. Because there is nothing that defileth can enter into heaven. And sadly, you and I are all defiled throughout by sin, and by our very birth unclean. But this, oh, the mercy is this, that the God of heaven, yes, has made provision for his dear people. Ah, and may you and I be found numbered amongst them. Yes, we're found here in chapel this morning, in the house of God. Yes, in the place where we love to be, especially when we feel the presence of our God, the presence of the Lord. But dear soul, oh, to be prepared for heaven, to be made right. Yes, we sing those lines then, but oh, to be ready for it. You see, the Lord then in his mercy has made provision, and it was for this cause, and this cause alone, that the dear Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ came into this world. Yes, and as it reads in the Word of God, laid by his glory, and came to this earth, yes, and suffered, bled, and died in the sinner's place, Roman's dead. And there's all, the dear Lord Jesus Christ, why, laying by his glory, why, to use the words of another hymn writer, why, he loves his people, great and small, and grasping hard, embraces all, and nor with a soul will part. He toils through life and pants through death, and cries with his expiring breath, 'tis finished and complete. But oh, there was his, the humility of Christ. Why, here, it reads here in verse 4 of this chapter, all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, the colt, the foal of an ass. Day, here thy king cometh. Why you turn back into the Old Testament, and how many of those kings there arode in various luxurious chariots as they came to Jerusalem and to other places are mentioned here in the Bible. Yes, but here there's the Holy Son of God. Yes, he doesn't come in a chariot with lots of fancy bits and pieces on it. No, he comes meek, lowly, sitting on the colt, the foal of an ass. Humility. Then why the life of Jesus surely was humility. Why, as we have just passed the season of the birth of Christ, but oh, what humility was there when, you say, there was no room for him in the inn. And there was the stable. And they laid the Prince of Life and Glory in a manger in the stable. That was the beginning of the birth of our blessed Saviour and Redeemer. But there's and what was at the end of his life? Why? There was no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we'd hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Yes, dear soul. This humility of the dear Lord Jesus Christ. There was no reputation, was there? The humility of his reputation. Why, he was a Nazarite. He was a Nazareth. He was called a Nazarene, I believe it is, in Matthew's Gospel. Nazareth was that, and apparently still is, very, very poor, run down, as we would call it, a city of Israel even today. And yet here, from this town, Nazareth, there was this blessed child, Jesus. Here was the God-man, the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. His humility. Why, yes, he had no riches, did he? No. He had nowhere to lay his head. Nowhere to lay his head. Yes, you know, it seems that even the very employment of his father, the supposed Father who was not. The Father was the Holy Ghost. But Joseph, see, he was the carpenter. Is not this the carpenter's son? No large rank, no great station in life. But, dear soul, there's this that I just wanted to look at that came to one's mind early this morning. And why here in John's Gospel, all this humility. Yes, here in John 13, it's where Jesus then here. It reads here in the first verse of the chapter, and having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And now, supper being ended, why, Jesus, knowing these things, he rises from the supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself, pours water into a basin, and begins to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Ah, yes, the servant. Ah, the Lord of life and glory. Taking the place of a servant. Yes, of washing the disciples' feet. A very mean task. Once, I won't relate what it was. It wouldn't be becoming. A bit. I was doing something for a friend one day, and she said, "You're not going to do that." I said, "If my Lord can wash the disciples' feet, I can do this for you." I'm not saying that to hold myself up in any way, God forbid, but yes, yes, oh, the Lord of life and glory washed the disciples' feet. Oh, to be, for you and I, to be clothed with humility. Yes, to be clothed with humility. But then again, there's this thought as well. Why, there, earlier in Matthew's Gospel, the Lord says this. May it be to some poor soul here this morning. What is it he says? "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon thee. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Yes, take my yoke upon me. Take thy yoke upon thee. Are we going to enter into this? Is this going to be fulfilled before December the 31st of 2016, if we're spared? Are you going to take his yoke? Ah, Yes, yes, blessed Lord. This King of Kings, this Lord of Lords. Yes, you that were saying perhaps earlier this morning, perhaps long before you rose from your bed, but dear soul, was it there that you were saying, I, in answer to the question, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? That thou dost so charge us. And because, yes, maybe the Lord, in love and mercy to your poor never dying soul, has appeared to you perhaps recently, perhaps over the Christmas season. And you can say, in all humility, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Yes, and I'm referring to Solomon's Song, chapter 5, and about the middle. But then you come down to the end of the chapter, and dear soul, and do you not say this? His mouth is most sweet. He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. His mouth is most sweet. Now do we know? His mouth is sweet. Because of those gracious words that have fallen from his lips. Even those words perhaps we quoted a moment ago. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, and take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, and learn of me. Yes. Oh, that I knew him. What did dear Job say? Yes, that I... memory's not very good this morning. That I might know him. No, that's not the right words either. But dear Job says to us here, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even unto his seat. Yes, that was your prayer. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. And those sweet words that dropped from his mouth and into your heart. It was that blessed gospel invitation, come unto me. Yes, who is this? This is Jesus, God's dear Son. This is Jesus in all his humility. Yes, dear soul. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before a shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. This is the Lord of life and glory. This is Jesus. Ah, yes, his humility, and it made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. And then the dear prophet says this, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Yes, dear soul, that he was made an offering as a lamb before shears is dumb. Why, there in John's Gospel, John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Who is this? It's Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. Yes, dear soul, she'll make his soul an offering for sin. Wonderful chapters here, back here in Leviticus. And yes, dear soul, the dear Lord, you see here, there was this, the high priest, back here it was Aaron. And he was to offer, yes, a lamb for his own sin and the sins of the people. There were two. And it reads here, two goats. One goat was to be slain. And the blood of that goat was collected, and the high priest takes the blood and sprinkles it in the Holy of Holies within the tabernacle. But the live goat, he takes the live goat and he holds his hands on the head of that live goat. And there he confesses his sins and the sins of the people. And it's let go into the wilderness. It's led by a fit man into the wilderness and let go. And dear soul, all this sets forth the glorious truth. Yes. That thou shalt make, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. When dear soul, Christ then, why, you see, the sins of God's people. I'm not purposely not saying the church, because that immediately some feel to be cut off and cut out of that. But God's people. The Lord's dear people, you see, they come and they confess their sins before the Lord. And those sins, yes, this all have been dealt with. Those sins have been dealt with. Those sins, this all were dealt with there on Calvary's cross by the Lord of life and glory, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. The just dies for the unjust. And did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the skies, stoop down to wretched nest and dust, the guilty worms might rise? Yes, the Redeemer left his throne, his radiant throne on high, surprising mercy, love unknown, to suffer, bleed, and die. Did all, you and I, he took the dying traitor's place and suffered in his stead. The man, O miracle of grace, a man, the Saviour, bled. No wonder the hymn writer says, why me, why me? O blessed God, why such a wretch as I? We must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free. Yes, is who is this? Yes, that yes, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. This was what was going to happen very shortly. He was going to be offered there on the cross. Yes, dear soul, and don't let's forget this. What we read of back here in the Old Testament. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. No remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And the dear Lord of life and glory, dear soul, he comes. Who is there? It's Jesus. This all here in Matthew chapter 1, it reads this, doesn't it? And his name shall be Emmanuel, God with us. Yes. Yes, God in human flesh. The God-man, the Lord of life and glory. Yes, that is to pay the price. You know, that hymn writer sums it up so beautifully in my estimation. Yes, it loves his people great and small and grasping hard, embraces all and gnaw with a soul apart. Not one soul will be lost. And dear soul, he said this as well in his public ministry, which I hope will be a word to you that feel to be so far off. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That repentance that needs not to be repented of. Judas Iscariot had repentance, but it didn't bring him to Christ. Sinner, do your sins, well, let's put it this way, let's ask it this way round, where do your sins bring you to? That's the point. Where do your sins bring you to? Do they bring us, this isle, to the footstool of mercy. Do they bring us to cry out with that dear man in the temple, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? Dear soul, do you find an echo in your heart of the words of the hymn writer who said, here on my heart the burden lies, and pass offences, pain, mine eyes. You know, that dear man we read there in the gospel, a parable, isn't it? But Jesus said, he smote upon his breast. What is this smiting on the breast? Why, the apostle Paul gives us a little insight into it, doesn't he? He says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this sin and death? Ah, yes, this body of sin and death. Oh, a hatred to sin. Yes, all. Have you got a true hatred to sin? You know, repentance, it's often been said, hasn't it? It's turning round. It's forsaking, putting our back on sin. Yes. But grace, though the smallest, shall surely be tried. The Lord is not the author of sin. Let's be clear. But sometimes he does see fit to leave you and I in the hands of the adversary. He did, dear Job. He did. But you know, the adversary cannot go beyond God's command. The Lord put up a barrier to Satan regarding Job. Touch not his life. Yes, and you turn over into the New Testament, and who comes to mind there that was left in Satan's hand? Nobody else but Peter, was it? Lord, I'll go to prison, I'll go to death, I'll not deny thy name. He was as bold as bold. And what has the Lord said to him? Simon, hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Who is this? Who is this that says such things to one of his own dear children? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus of Nazareth, the Saviour of sinners. It's he that knew better and knows better than you and I and knew better than Peter did. Peter then left. You don't need me to go into the case at all. Peter denies anything of the Lord. Yes, even with oaths and curses. But now you look. Now you look. When the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, you see the difference between Peter's repentance and Judas Iscariot's repentance. Peter went out and he wept bitterly. He went out and he wept bitterly. Do you know what it is to weep bitterly? Say, well, we don't expect to have to be like Peter. We shan't be put in that position. Who said we shan't? I know full well different. I may have related this before, but years ago in Croydon, I went to visit an old man one Sunday afternoon in hospital, who asked me to read and pray. I said, well, you can read all right, can't you? Yes, he could read. Well, you know, there was television in the corner turned up about as loud as it could. He expected me to read and pray. Well, you read. You read for yourself when I'm gone. I'll have a word of prayer. There was no prayer. Yes, words came out. There was no prayer. I was as dead as those seats are. And I went out of that hospital. And I cried like a baby. Why? I denied my Lord. That's why. Who is this? Peter. He weeps. He mourns. And he was forgiven. And he was forgiven. When Christ rose from the dead, he meets those women, or rather the angel says to the women, go and tell his disciples and Peter. Peter, you're not forgotten. You're still loved. And his own. And their sin shall not be mentioned unto them. You see, the goat that's led out into the wilderness and let go. And their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more forever. Yes, your sins will not be remembered anymore. They're washed when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. When this all has come, this has taken place, Christ has died. But this all, he has risen again. From Calvary's cross. He's risen again from the dead. He died for our offences. He rose again for our justification. Blessed be his glorious name. Oh, what shall I do? My Saviour to praise. Blessed be his name. Well, I don't seem to have got very far. so is this. This is Jesus. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £699, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, our friend Mr. Field hopes to address the Sunday school this afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service and give an address at our prayer meeting tomorrow evening. And Mr. Gilbert Hyde, God willing, is expected to preach next Lord's Day. Let us close by singing part of hymn 122, the first six verses and the last verse. Join all the glorious names of wisdom, love and power that ever mortals knew, that angels ever bore, all are too mean to speak his word, too mean to set my Saviour forth. Hymn 122, verses 1 to 6, and verse 12.
And now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.